want to build a team of some bad people who I think can do some good.
We're some kind of suicide squad.
I told you!
You're going somewhere very bad to do something that'll get you killed.
Easy peasy.
Will Smith.
Y'all jokers must be crazy.
Margot Robbie.
Hi, boys.
Jared Leto.
What the hell's wrong with you people?
We're bad guys. It's what we do.
Suicide Squad.
They're so intense.
In cinemas Friday. Book tickets now.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspectives, this is Revenge of the Birds. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. And today we have a special treat for you as our preview show features a special guest. Today I have Sean Yule from PrideOfDetroit.com, our SB Nation site for the Detroit Lions. And Sean will join me for a bit, and we'll be able to talk about the Detroit Lions, the next opponent for the Arizona Cardinals, on a very, very big game this weekend. I saw it on Twitter last weekend, the saying that the Detroit Lions and the Arizona Cardinals are playing for first place in the NFC. That's a sentence that has never been spoken or said in the history of time. What do you think about that? About the situation of two historically really kind of inept teams, where they're at today?
It's definitely a surprise. And on the Lions' perspective, I mean, coming into this season, the expectations were high simply because there's so much talent on both sides of the ball, but I don't think anybody really expected the Lions to jump out to a 7-win start in their first 9 games. I mean, this team only won 7 games all of last year, and granted, part of that was because Jim Schwartz allowed yet another second-half collapse to happen, and, I mean, just looking at the talent in the games on paper last year, they should have easily won more than 7 games, but that's really been the difference the last few weeks for the Lions. They've been in games where they had to make late comebacks, like fashion in the past for the Lions, certainly under Jim Schwartz. I mean, the Cowboys game last year and countless other examples. But for this year, the team has really just kept a very calm demeanor when they're in tough situations, and they've been able to really win games that you normally wouldn't expect them to. And more than anything, sustaining the success week to week has been the biggest shock to the Lions, because we've been used to them winning a game in dramatic fashion only to follow it up with a tough loss against a bad team the very next week. And they came very close to doing that in recent weeks with that game.
Let's take it back to the bit, because obviously there were some changes to the offseason, the biggest one being the coaching change. But let's tell us about what happened in the offseason, changes in personnel, changes in the coaching staff, and the impact, or this even the good, the bad, who were the important additions, who were the important subtractions, and the like. Give us a rundown of the offseason, if you would.
Well, once the Lions finished up their disappointing second half of 2013, they immediately fired Jim Schwartz after the season ended. And so really the coaching search that developed focused on a few former head coaches who had playoff experience and had been in positions where they had success. And initially it looked like Ken Whitenhunt was going to get the job, and there was even a plane waiting to go to San Diego to pick him up. And then later that night he ended up taking the Titans job. And at the time, that was seen as a big disappointment, but Jim Caldwell was hired the next day. And as we got more and more info on him, and as he put his coaching staff together, specifically hiring Terrell Austin from the Baltimore Ravens to run his defense, it really seemed to be clear that they had a plan in place. And more than anything, their plan was to bring in an experienced leader like Caldwell, who may not exactly bring the most advantage from an X's and O's standpoint, but he's a guy who can get a locker room together and get a team like the Lions that has dealt with discipline issues, taking stupid penalties and things like that, just not being able to finish games, and be able to really pull that locker room together and play as a team for 4 quarters and for 17 weeks in the season. And on the field, they added James Ehedibo, a safety who played for Terrell Austin in Baltimore. He's really been a big playmaker at safety And on offense, obviously, the big headline there is Golden Tate, who was really underutilized in Seattle's run-heavy offense. And when Calvin Johnson went out for three games earlier this season, he was limited for two more. Tate really stepped up and became the Lions' top receiver. And he flourished as one of the best receivers in all of the NFL during that time. And now with him and a healthy Calvin Johnson together on the field, really for the first time in a while, we've gotten to see just how dangerous this offense can potentially be with two top wideouts on the field together.
I kind of compare it. Obviously, the Cardinals have had some skill position. They've had some talent at the skill position. You take a Golden Tate and you take a Calvin Johnson. Would that kind of be the equivalent of, say, what the Cardinals already had in Patrick Peterson on the defensive side of the ball, and then adding Antonio Cromartie on the other side? And that's actually going to be an interesting matchup because of the two dynamic playmakers on the outside for Detroit to go in against the dynamic defensive, the coverage ability of both Cromartie and Peterson. How do you see that playing out?
Well, when you look at it on the defensive side of the ball for the Cardinals, you really do have something similar to where the Lions have a two-headed monster of sorts of receiver with Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate. And so you have one of the top cornerbacks in the game in Patrick Peterson, and somebody who really came in as a free agent and has stepped it up in Antonio Cromartie. And so now when you match those two up against each other, I'm sure we'll see plenty of each player getting matched up against each corner. And even though Calvin Johnson had a really good game last year against Patrick Peterson, even though much of that was based on one slant route that he took to the house, you're going to have a situation where the Lions' other weapons really have to step it up. And the good news for them is that tight ends Joseph Fourier and Eric Ebron look like they will be back this week after missing some time with injuries. And we thought they were going to return last week after coming back to practice, but the Lions decided to hold off one more week just on the off chance that they wanted to make sure they're all healthy and they don't want to risk further injury like we've seen with Reggie Bush, for instance, in recent weeks. And so they should be back. Brandon Pettigrew is finally back he was back last week, actually, from an injury of his own. Theo Riddick has really stepped it up at running back. He had the game-winning touchdown last week, and he hasn't exactly had a ton of opportunities, but he's made the most of them, especially in the pass game. And then with Joique Bell at running back, Corey Fuller and Jeremy Ross at receiver, I think it's going to be imperative for the Lions to have those players make a lot of plays with Tate and Johnson being occupied by Peterson and Cromartie.
Good thing back to the coaching staff. It's a question I did ask you a little bit earlier, but how different and what is Jim Caldwell doing that's different? Because Caldwell got the reputation for his time in Indianapolis. In fact, that there are many people very surprised that Jim Caldwell got another NFL job, because the impression of him in Indianapolis, he was simply a cardboard poster, as no emotion, kind of just there to entitle while Peyton Manning handled everything. What has he shown as a coach that's different than Schwartz, and why is what he's doing more successful now than what Schwartz was doing last year? Even with both teams have had a good start to the year.
Yeah, I think the main difference all goes back to the demeanor of the head coach. And when the Lions were winning in 2011 and they made the playoffs for the first time in a decade, the demeanor of Schwartz was viewed as a good thing. He was this fiery head coach who showed emotion all the time, perhaps too much. He got into it with Jim Harbaugh once after a game with the infamous handshake incident.
That was fantastic.
He wasn't afraid to yell at his players, it seemed like, and he wasn't afraid to yell at other players from other teams and officials as well. And the Lions really took on that attitude. And when they were winning, it was viewed as a swagger of sorts. And then, of course, the next 2 years happened, and as the dumb penalties, the off-field incidents, and things of that sort piled up, it was viewed as a negative to the Lions. And so when they hired Caldwell, he's really the polar opposite from Schwartz. He barely shows emotion, as you mentioned, and he's not somebody who's going to get too high or too low. And he really focuses on having accountability, and that's one area where Schwartz seemed to lack. When a player made a mistake on or off the field, there wasn't really any repercussion for it in the locker room. And we've already seen Caldwell plenty of instances where Nick Fairley got benched in training camp because he let his weight get out of control. C.J. Mosley was sent home from London for violating a team rule, and he was suspended the night before a game. So those kinds of things have really come together with the idea that the Lions just need to be a smarter, more balanced team. And I think that, more than any X's and O's advantage, is what the Lions needed after 4 or 5 years of Schwartz. And we've seen it before. Like, the Lions had the talent in place. They got off to a good start. They just weren't able to bring it all together on a consistent basis. And I think that, so far, has been the main difference with Caldwell.
Is Caldwell the main reason? Is that the difference as to why we've really heard nothing in the way of the play of Ndamukong Suh, who, it seemed every couple of weeks over the past couple of seasons, something would come up in the whole talk of being dirty, this dirty player comes up, yet nothing this year. I mean, other than a little blip at the beginning of the year where there was the report came out that he was looking forward to free agency because he felt he was supposed to go to the Giants or this or that, but is it Caldwell? Is it the accountability? Is it just that Schwartz never told Ndamukong, no, you can't do that?
I think Sue has really been a different player since the incident last year where he committed a seemingly dirty block and he was fined $100,000 for it in week one. And I mean, he's still made mistakes here and there in terms of possibly late hits or, you know, things like that, but generally speaking, he hasn't received many penalties, and I think he's really been focused on playing more within the rules. And I personally have thought that the whole idea that he's this dirty player who is trying to cause injuries and things like that were always overblown. And, I mean, there's always been drama with Sue on and off the field, and not so much in the sense that he's getting in trouble with the law, but there have been car accidents, a lot of speeding tickets, and just things like that that have piled up in the last few years. But this year, he does seem to be more focused, and I think he's having his best season as a Lion, and that's saying a lot considering he's been an All-Pro a couple of times, he's been to 3 Pro Bowls in 4 seasons, and, of course, it is a contract year. So that's the other thing. The main drama with Sue now is about him not talking about his contract and the Lions not negotiating with him and waiting until after the season in what is really a risky move because he's playing his value up more and more. And when he hits the open market or if he gets a contract extension with the Lions, he's going to end up making more than J.J. Watt. And from week to week, J.J. Watt probably makes more of an impact on a game. But with the Lions defense finally using all of this talent and potential the fullest of its advantage with Carol Austin leading the way, we've seen just how important Sue can be. And so now as the season progresses, assuming there are no on or off the field incidents, the main thing will be his contract. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be resolved anytime soon considering neither side is even negotiating right now.
Well, that'll make for fun off season. I can definitely say that, and I don't think the Cardinals have the cap, but he would make a fantastic addition to the defensive line over here, especially since the Cardinals are having so much success with, really, outside of Calais Campbell, a bunch of old guys and unproven young guys. Which brings us to as we talk about the matchup now. For some reason, the Lions have just not had good fortune, just not played well, whatever the reason is, against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, outside of, you know, last year where they played really well, but dating back to, what is it, the last 5 meetings the Cardinals have beaten the Lions, what is it about the Cardinals that brings out the not-so-great in Detroit?
It's definitely been weird. The Lions just seem to be cursed when they go out to the desert, and, I mean, the last 2 years have been proof of that, and it's odd how the schedule works, that this is the 3rd year in a row they're going to Arizona for a game. But I know 2 years ago, it was in the 2012 season where they were just in free fall mode after a really rough second half and an even a rough start to the season, and they got blown out by a seemingly bad Cardinals team. And then last year,
seemingly bad, they were terrible. That was the only win they had after their first 4. It was, and in fairness, that was more about the defense, because Ryan Lindley, who started that game, he's now back on the team, the 3rd string. He didn't even throw a touchdown. He's yet to throw a touchdown in the NFL. So they kind of won right. In spite
of
things.
They were seemingly bad against teams not named the Lions. But yeah, so, and then last year, early in the season, the Lions seemed to be in control of that game after a pick 6 by, I think, DeAndre Levy had it. And it looked like they were going to end up winning. And then Reggie Bush got hurt. Things just didn't seem to go well in the second half on offense. And they just didn't make enough plays. There was a late pass interference. And I think it really boils down to the biggest problem of the Schwartz era, just not having that focus for 4 full quarters. And the Lions have shown that they have lost focus in the first, second, or third quarter lately, but then they gain it when it matters most in the fourth. And so this year for them, I mean, this is such a high-profile matchup, and we've heard all this talk all week about how the number one seed in the NFC is on the line. This is a game more than the others that they really can't afford to get into a hole and have to rely on a late miraculous comeback aided by turnovers or fortunate delay of game penalties or just making the necessary plays even, because the Cardinals are a team that you really can't allow that to happen. You can't spot them two or three touchdowns before you really start to play well. And so, more importantly than anything, to get rid of that supposed curse in the desert, they just need to put four quarters of good football together for the first time in quite some time.
How would you describe the season that Matthew Stafford is having? Obviously, going back to 2011, he really had a quite, you know, record 5,000 yards, an amazing year, led in the playoffs. Then he kind of, you know, his production dipped, and there was the question, well, which is the Matthew Stafford? Is it the 2011 version? Is it the current version? How would Detroit fans describe his play this year, and how satisfied are they with the play of their starting quarterback?
I would say frustrating is probably the best way to describe it this year, and you could probably say that for his entire career, because we see the great moments, like last week when he was leading that last-minute drive and just making all of the throws, putting the ball in the spot where it needed to be, and leading the team to a comeback victory. He's seemingly great in those situations. It's just the rest of the game where there is a lot of inconsistency, and we saw it last week. Right after the Lions get a big interception, Stafford tries to force it to Calvin Johnson, and Brent Grimes makes a ridiculous one-handed interception. And Jeremy Ross was running down the middle of that field wide open. So he could have had an easy touchdown, potentially, but instead he tried to force it to Calvin Johnson. And I think this year, more than any, the frustration really lies in his inconsistency, but at the same time, we're aware of the extenuating circumstances. He's had Joyke Bell, Theo Riddick, and Reggie Bush in and out of the lineup because of injuries. Calvin Johnson has missed a lot of time, and he's had to get on the same page as a new receiver in Golden Tate. And then he's also had a horrendous offensive line in front of him. And part of that stems from the right tackle not playing for much of the first part of the season. Part of it just stems from the offensive line taking a major step back. And there's also the factor of a new offense and the new offensive coordinator in Joe Lombardi. And as much as we ragged on Scott Linehan for the ability of the Lions offense to put up yards without scoring, I mean, a lot of times this year it's been just the opposite, where they haven't been able to score and there isn't any yards there either. And so for Stafford, I think the main thing going forward is just having that pocket presence where he's not rushing throws, not forcing things to Calvin Johnson, not running at the first sign of pressure, and getting a more calm playing style where you have the gunslinger attitude at times that works really well, as we saw late in last week's game, but then making the smart throws and not trying to go for broke in a situation where you're just getting the ball back after an interception. So the main thing for him is just being more consistent and more accurate, and hopefully as the offense continues to return so many of these injured players, we'll see more of that, and especially as he gets more used to this new system.
Talking about again, this is Revenge of the Birds Radio. We're talking with Sean Yule from PrideOfDetroit.com. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. We're previewing the matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Detroit Lions. Cardinals have a familiar face starting at quarterback for Detroit Lions fans. It's been a couple years now, but Drew Stanton, who's the man now in Arizona, what would Detroit fans, and we saw a little bit of him earlier in the year, what do Detroit fans remember of Stanton? And what is kind of the impression he left on the team and the fans?
Well, it's interesting. When Stanton was first drafted as a second-round pick, it was one of the, let's just call it, Matt Millen specials in terms of draft picks. Nobody understood why they decided to select Stanton in that round, and especially with other needs and other players out there that would have filled those needs existing. And so he really began his career with some frustrating starts with Mike Martz, and it was really when the Lions brought in a new coaching staff and Scott Linehan that Stanton really started to play better as a quarterback. And obviously with Matthew Stafford ahead of him, he wasn't the starter or anything like that, and he wasn't even actually the backup with Sean Hill taking that role. But in the 2010 season, Stafford got hurt, and Sean Hill came in to replace him, also got hurt, and so Stanton did get a couple of starts, and he led the Lions to victory, and he may have even been multiple victories. I'm not sure exactly who was starting in each of those games down the stretch, but Stanton helped lead the Lions to a four-game winning streak to close out that season, and they really carried that momentum over to 2011 when they went 10-6 and made the playoffs. And so he showed that the Lions could win with him as the quarterback, and really, between him and Sean Hill, the Lions had probably the best backup situation situation in the entire NFL. And at the time, this was really important with Matthew Stafford dealing with a lot of injuries in his first couple years in the league. And unfortunately, the Lions lost Stanton after 2011 because he decided to go play for the New York Jets very briefly before they traded him to Tebow. He wanted more opportunity, and he definitely picked a good spot where he probably could have seen the field in New York very early on in his career.
If it weren't for Tebow mania.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest of the story is he ends up, he leaves there, he goes to Indianapolis where he meets and he works under Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians loves him, makes him the first free agent that he signs when he joins the Cardinals. And it looked like Stanton was going to be the starter, but then they traded for Carson Palmer, so he was stuck behind. So he's been in three different organizations, stuck behind Matthew Stafford, stuck behind Andrew Luck, and then stuck behind Carson Palmer, getting his chance to start now, which we're kind of excited about, actually.
Yeah, and I think he should be. I mean, Stanton definitely has limitations in the sense that he's not going to make the same kind of plays as a Matthew Stafford. He doesn't have the arm strength as that. But he's definitely somebody who you can win with, and you've seen that firsthand this year. The Lions saw it firsthand in 2010. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with the idea that he can lead a team to a Super Bowl, but when you put enough pieces around him, it's obviously a lot different than the 2010 Lions, which were at one point two wins,
ooh,
16 weeks, or late into the season, not 16 weeks, but before they went on that four-game winning streak to close out 2010, I mean, it looked like yet another down Lions team with no talent around him. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what Stanton does when he's given more time to be the starter on a full-time basis and not just spot starting here or there.
And my personal opinion, because between Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton, there's some to say there's hardly any jump. There is I consider a significant drop off when it comes to talent. Carson Palmer was never quite been, after his first injury, wasn't quite the same elite top five quarterback, but he has that talent. Stanton is a guy that reminds me of a healthy Kevin Cobb. If going back to a season I almost would not like to remember, is that type of quarterback play. Who does just enough, is careful with the football, completes 55% of his score, of his passes, throwing more touchdowns and interceptions, with the skill around him like he has in Arizona. And there's no reason why they can't be a playoff contender. Maybe they're not quite the Super Bowl favorite that people might have seen them, at least in the NFC, for a brief amount of time. But I think he can do it.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the nice things about Stanton is he's very mobile as a quarterback.
Loves to run.
Going back to his days at Michigan State, I mean, he terrorized Michigan, which is where I went to school when he was at State, and he did it on the ground more than anything. And we didn't really get to see a lot of that in his first couple years in the league because he was on the bench more than anything. But when he came in, he made some plays on the ground, and I'm sure he's still doing that in Arizona. And that'll be something that he probably needs to utilize on Sunday with Ndamukong Suh and company. And a very good pass rush coming at him.
So let's talk about the matchup. Where is, and we've got two teams that are built kind of on the same principles. You've got big play capability on offense. There's really the potential for being a top offense in the league, but it hasn't been that way. You've got a dynamic defense, both very, very high up there. What is it? Lions basically number one overall. The Cardinals overall in yardage aren't great, but they're right up there against the run. They're way up there against their tops in turnovers, that and points allowed. And both teams tend to play their best in the fourth quarter. How do you see the two teams who really kind of match up strength against strength? How will this game play out? And where do you see the most favorable matchups for the Lions? And where do you see the least favorable matchups for Detroit as they play this weekend?
Well, in the least favorable category, I think it's definitely the Lions' running game. And, I mean, it doesn't matter who they're playing. They just can't run the ball very well. But especially against the Arizona defense, I can't imagine Joyt Bell or Theo Riddick or whoever they throw in there doing much on the ground on a consistent basis. And I know the Cardinals don't exactly run the ball that well either, so they're kind of similar from a yardage standpoint where they're ranked in the NFL. And on the flip side, I think the biggest strength is just going to be Ndamukong Suh and C.J. Mosley up the middle and getting help from Jason Jones, who is able to slide inside. And then Ziggy Ansah pass rushing on the outside. He's been outstanding as of late. And he's really made a big jump in his second year in the league. And that pass rush, I think, is really coming on strong for the Lions. So I think their biggest chance to make plays on defense is going to be through that front four. And even when Terrell Austin mixes it up and gets creative and brings different kinds of looks and pressure at Drew Stanton, and I think that's really where they're going to have to attack the Cardinals if they want to win on Sunday.
All right. And again, what would you see the Cardinals having the greatest advantage overall?
Well, I think more than anything, it's going to be in that run.
You did say that. Yes, it's stopping the run. Now, although I will point out that Reggie Bush kind of gave them trouble, and Bush is the type of running back that will give the Cardinals trouble. He did it in New Orleans, and the Cardinals have been really good about stopping the run, but he was doing really well until he got hurt, and that kind of changed things up last year because it took away one of the facets. We were able to kind of force the team too fast passing the ball, and the Cardinals like to make their teams one-dimensional.
Well, unfortunately for the Lions, Bush is probably not going to play on Sunday.
Oh, is he back Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, he aggravated his ankle injury yet again last week, and now the talk is that they may just shut him down like they did with Calvin Johnson. Just give him a few weeks off, wait till he gets fully healthy before they put him back on the field, because he just can't seem to stay healthy this year. And so that's where Theo Riddick, who's sort of a similar player in that he's really dangerous in the passing game, he can make plays in space. I think he's going to have a lot more importance in this matchup on Sunday if Bush is out.
Okay. And I know Larry Warford has been ruled out for this weekend. Is that correct?
I mean, not officially, but he's on crutches, I think, and he's got a huge wrap on his knee, so he's not going to play. And the main thing now for the Lions, they have rookie Travis Swanson stepping in. He did an okay job. Warford hasn't been nearly as good as he was last year, but that's still a drop-off. But the main thing will be having Adrian Waddle at right tackle, who also got hurt last week but has been practicing so far this week. It looks like he's going to play. So luckily it does not appear that they're going to be starting two rookies on the right side of the line this week. But I guess we won't know for sure until Sunday.
All right. And what about Calvin Johnson did not practice on Wednesday? Was that more of a precautionary type thing? Especially coming back from the injury. Was he back at practice today?
Yeah, he returned to practice today. It looks like yesterday was just a day off to give him a chance to rest. He actually said after practice yesterday that he felt fine coming out of last week's game and he was no worse for the wear. So to me, it just seems like they were giving him a day off, which they did a lot last year when he was dealing with injuries. And so assuming he's 100, not even 100%, but close to it and not limited, that's the main thing for the Lions. They don't want him to be a decoy again like he was before he sat out a few games.
All right. Let me see. Anything else that... So we've got this good matchup. How do you see this play? So let's put you under the hot seat here. How are you going to play this out? Is this a game that is a must-win for the Lions? The Cardinals are putting a lot of pressure on themselves for that, mainly because it's a home game. They are really playing the card of, we want to host the Super Bowl. We don't want to leave our stadium. How do you see the game playing out in terms of results?
Well, based on the Lions' recent history, combined with the fact that they had three ridiculous comebacks in the last few weeks, and just the idea that they're going on the road against this great defense and a team that is very similar to them, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, maybe in the teens or something, with a late score deciding it. And I'm personally leaning a little bit towards the Cardinals, just because I'm having a hard time seeing the Lions winning 8 games in their first 10. And I know that's a lot of past history coming into play for a team that has nothing to do with it, but it's just hard for me to believe that the Lions' luck and the way they've played lately is going to continue on the road against such a good team. And I mean, it's more of the same next week, unfortunately, with the Lions going on the road to New England. So it would be very nice to win this game, take over the top seed in the NFC, and perhaps create a little distance between them and the Packers, with Green Bay playing Philadelphia this weekend. But I'm marking it down as a loss for right now, but we'll see.
Well, and that's actually very interesting for both teams, because both of them have a history of really not much. And Detroit, I mean, how bad would it be? Granted, it's two very tough matchups. If they were to lose in Arizona and lose to the Patriots, how many people would start jumping off the bandwagon and say, oh, no, it's last year and the year before all over again?
I think you're going to definitely have people who feel that way, but the main thing is that the Lions got that win last week, and that's why it was so important. We knew with two tough road matchups coming up, if they lost to Miami, there would be a distinct possibility of three straight losses going into Thanksgiving. Now, luckily, that Thanksgiving matchup is suddenly looking a lot easier with it being the Bears, who just can't seem to put together even 1 second of good football as of late. But even so, you didn't want a situation where you're dropping three straight games going into Thanksgiving. And so that win against Miami was hugely important for that reason alone. And even if they drop the next two, they're still going to be in a position where they are not necessarily that far off from the Packers, depending on what happens on Sunday with them. And they already have beaten the Packers, so that's a point in their column for the tiebreaker. And obviously, going on the road in Week 17 to Lambeau Field, a place where they haven't won in 20-plus years, it's not exactly going to be easy, and you don't want to put your entire season on that one game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's going to be a situation where this is a long year. There's a lot of football that can be played, and as we've learned in the last couple of years, a lot can happen in the second half of the season. So even if two losses in a row against good teams may make it seem like this is another collapse in the making for some, I think it's going to be important to realize the Cardinals and Patriots are two tough teams, especially on the road. So don't get too wrapped up in a couple of losses here or there against good teams.
And the Cardinals have just as much of a chance of having a couple of losses. They've, you know, it's, and the timing is really bad because Carson Palmer goes down. They're playing the Lions, a very, very tough team. It's a team I actually worry a lot about because of the physicality with which they play. And then after the Lions game, they go on the road next week to Seattle. So they could end up 8-3. The possibilities end up 8-3 after the next couple of weeks, and it feels, then it would feel like the sky is falling a bit because, oh no, lost Carson Palmer, Drew Stanton starting, and now they've lost two in a row. What's going to happen? Fortunately for both teams, even it would take historic type collapse to really fall out of playoff contention. But yeah, both teams, this is a very, very important win for both teams. And I don't know if I can't personally pencil this in as a win yet. I like what they're playing, but the losing Carson Palmer plus the way the interior line has been playing for the Cardinals has not been great. So that matchup against the Lions defensive line is really, really worrisome to me. Plus adding to the fact that you've got some pretty good tight ends. I mean, guys that can make plays. We've got guys to cover the outside, but what about the other stuff? That's so good matchup. I can't wait to see it play out, Sean, and I appreciate the time. How can our listeners and readers at RevengeOfTheBirds.com follow you and Pride of Detroit?
Well, you can find my writing and my colleagues' writing at PrideOfDetroit.com, and you can follow us at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. And I'm at Sean Yule, SDANYULLE on Twitter.
All right. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio signing out. This is Jess Root. Special thanks to Sean Yule from Pride of Detroit. And we'll be paying attention to the game on Sunday. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting RevengeOfTheBirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.
Everyone has a story to tell. Take Jen. She can see all the films she wants, whenever she wants, at Cineworld. From Finding Dory and the BFG to Suicide Squad. She gets 10% off all her cinema snacks, Baskin-Robbins, sweets and treats, you name it. Plus 25% off at some of her favourite restaurants, like Frankie and Benny's. That's Jen's unlimited story. Start yours today when you join Cineworld Unlimited. From just $17.40 a month. Love cinema? Join the club. Sign up today at your local Cineworld or visit cineworld.com.